It's Thanksgiving. That means it's Thursday. And that means it's the day we read from your emails. But first, some corrections. In our report about Islam in Germany, we said Germany had the largest Muslim population in Europe. We were wrong. France does. And in our story about Sirius satellite radio last week, we said NPR's programming was carried on one channel in Sirius's network. NPR is, in fact, on two channels. We received some letters about hunting. Our interview with John Lockwood about a website that allows you to hunt real wildlife from home over the Internet brought this response from Rush Klinkscales of Edmond, Oklahoma. I'm an avid hunter, fisherman, and naturalist, Mr. Klinkscale says, and I must say that in my opinion, what Mr. Lockhart wants to facilitate is killing, not hunting. Hunting has mostly to do with simply being in the natural world and learning from nature and her creatures. It has little to do with killing an animal. To remove one entirely from the natural environment of the animal and focus completely on the kill is to take the very soul out of a rewarding and instructive experience that connects us with our world in a way that our ancestors understood far better than we. A number of you also wrote in about our story on the practical effects of the expiration of the federal assault weapons ban. Wade Goodwin went to a Texas gun store to see what is now on the market that wasn't available before. He described a customer taking target practice at a paper silhouette with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. Ken Niederer of Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, says he owns an AR-15, and he took issue with this part of Wade's report.
It's more than just the accuracy over long distances that make this weapon so formidable. The Colt SP-1 and others like it, like the Uzi or the AUG, the Galil or a Fabrique Nationale, can punch through drywall like it wasn't there. Is there somebody in the next room you want to kill? With one of these, there's no need to go in there.
Niederer writes, that statement by your reporter implies psychopathic malevolence on the part of anyone who would own such a gun, which is an unfair and inaccurate characterization of the law-abiding enthusiasts who legally enjoy these firearms. You are perpetuating the media-generated image that these guns can be put to no legitimate use other than killing people. Well, back to Thanksgiving. There was lots of mail about our interview with food writer Mark Bittman. He suggested trying meats other than turkey for Thanksgiving. Marsha Warren of Park Ridge, Illinois, wrote, replacing the mainstay turkey with such haughty entrees as leg of lamb, standing rib roast, or even a simple braised roast pork, get real, this is sheer blasphemy. Mr. Bittman immediately went off track by suggesting that Americans rarely willingly seek out turkey when not Thanksgiving. Rubbish. For my family, this could not be further from the truth. We replicate the traditional Thanksgiving feast numerous times throughout the year, so let's keep the tradition and keep the turkey. But Norm Herman of Etowah, North Carolina, disagrees. Around the house, I've been treated like a cultural pariah for suggesting that there are better holiday meals than the traditional turkey dinner. I've often wondered if there's a turkey industrial complex that has foisted the aggrieved bird upon our holiday table all these years. This year, I have another blessing for which to be thankful. A food expert that not only agrees with me, but has also listed at least half a dozen better-tasting options. Well, happy Thanksgiving, whatever you're eating. Keep serving us your comments to atc@npr.org. Don't forget to tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.